Well, my name is Pastor John. I say that because I met a couple of people that I had never met before. First time here, so we want to welcome anyone that's here this morning to First Church, and let's study the Word together here for a few minutes. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Word. It's powerful, Lord. It's like a two-edged sword that cuts to the very heart, Lord, of who we are, to separate bones and marrow. And Lord, I pray that your Word would exercise its power and authority over our lives today. I pray your blessing, Lord, on this ministry to foster families and foster children. And Lord, just help us to be a part of wonderful things like that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I got a question for you today, and we're going to be finishing up our series this morning on 1 Thessalonians, talking about standing firm. You know, I've heard from several of you folks that have said that this has been really encouraging to you. So this morning is going to be the final message on this, and then we'll head in a different direction starting next week. But we've been talking about standing firm, and today I want to focus on that great part of the scripture there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that talks about the future. Now, before we get to the Word here, let me ask you a question. When does the future happen? I mean, how far do you have to go for it to be in the future? I think most of the time when we're thinking about the future, we're thinking about too far out. We're talking about too long of a distance. You know, we don't, you know, for example, you know what? I'm going to lose the weight. I'm going to lose some weight. The next couple of years, I'm going to lose 60 pounds. And we think about that day that I'm going to finally hit that goal, and I'm going to lose 60 pounds. But when does that happen? When does the future get here? You know, it's really interesting to think. Someone once said, I don't remember where I read this, but it said that the future is nothing more than the past and the present stacked upon itself. You know, the past, if you think about the past, it's already gone. You know, if you think about the present, right? You have to continually think about being in the moment, being present. But when we think about the future, sometimes I think that we never get what we want in the future because we think that day is always out there somewhere. You know, one of the things he talks about in this passage is talks about, you know, the second coming, you know, about him coming and taking his church home. And, you know, back then it was obvious that the believers thought that was going to happen in their lifetime. But Jesus encouraged them to know that it's going to happen, but to realize that it could happen at any moment. You know, anticipating what God is going to do in the future, is one of the great ways of making sure that we have the strength that we need to stand firm today. Matter of fact, if you read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, brothers and sisters, he said, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, we certainly will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of call of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And then in chapter 5, he continues to talk about these days and these times. Listen, folks, don't allow your anxiety and your stress of today rob your joy of knowing what God is going to do in the future. Right? We can get so caught up in today that we're not ready for God, for what God has for us in the days that are ahead. He says in John chapter 14, I love the passage. He says, don't be troubled. He said, I'm going, I'm going to prepare a place, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you so that you will be with me forever. Chapter 4, verse 18 there of our text says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. That's what I want to do today. I want to encourage you to know that God has your future in control. Y'all remember Brad Winland? Brad was a great guy here. He was one of our associates for a number of years. And Brad now lives down in Cookeville, Tennessee. And what was one thing you remember about Brad? Huge Notre Dame fan. Okay? Huge Notre Dame fan. So I texted him last night when the game between Notre Dame, Ohio State started. I texted him. I said, hey, brother, good luck with the game. I think you got a good chance. And if you watch that game, it looked like that Notre Dame was going to pull it out, and then Ohio State scored at the last minute. They scored with 1 second left to take the lead and to win the game. I didn't hear from Brad, but this morning my phone dinged at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I looked and it was Brad, and it was just simply a crying face emoji. That's all it said. Now, on the other hand, I got a great fan that lives in Ohio, and I saw that he posted on Facebook to all of his Ohio State fans, and he said, all of you that were praying and asking and bargaining with God last night during that game, church starts at 10 a.m. Right? We get so caught up in today and the stresses of today and the things that we're excited about or the things that we worry about that I don't think that we have the correct outlook on what it means to stand firm in the future. You see, here in this text, he's saying, be assured that Jesus is coming back. It's a promise. And we see clearly here that we are told at this scripture and other scriptures that we should be encouraged and we should be ready, that we should be vigilant, that we should keep living this righteous life, this hospitable life for as long as we live and make sure that we know that God is coming and that we are ready for that day. Are you ready for that day? Paul says that it'll come suddenly. There'll be many that will be very much caught up in their sins. But what about us? What about you? Are we going to be ready for that day? Jesus expounded upon this in Matthew chapter 24. Here's just a snippet of what he says in Matthew chapter 24. He says, keep watch. Keep watch. Nobody but the Father knows that day or that hour, but keep watch because he's definitely coming back. And we definitely don't know when, but we need to be ready. You know, have you ever experienced that moment when you've invited a friend over? You tell them, hey, listen, you can come anytime after 5 o'clock. We're going to cook out on the grill, and you know we'll hang out and we'll sit around and we'll visit and then what happens? You know, the afternoon comes and it's like 4:30, and you're thinking, oh, my friend's going to be here soon. You know, you look and nobody's in the driveway, or the dog maybe stirs and starts barking. You think, oh, they're here, but then they're not here. And then it gets like 10 to 5. You think, wow, they're usually pretty early. I wonder where they are. They're not here yet. And you're watching for them. And then it gets to be the time and they're still not there. And then 10 minutes after and they're still not there. But you're always looking. I don't think that Christians today in many ways are always looking for the return of Jesus. Matter of fact, I think that sometimes Christians would be as surprised as anyone else if today were the day. But he wants to encourage us. And that's why he says here about, I don't want you to be uninformed about those that have fallen asleep. When Jesus does return, there are going to be a lot of people who are very happy about it. And there are going to be other people that are not so much. I remember several years ago, I took my father-in-law to a football game at Penn State when Penn State played the University of Virginia in State College at Beaver Stadium. And we went there to the game, and there was this one gentleman that was in town. I didn't know him, but he was dressed up. He wasn't just dressed up in the University of Virginia colors, but he had all of his clothes were coordinated, and then he had paint all over his face. He had dyed his hair a particular color, and he walked in, and he was so excited about this game. Now, like most of the games at Penn State just destroyed them. And as that man walked back out to his car, I kind of noticed him. You're talking about a walk of shame. I think I'd have tried to go in the bathroom and wash some of that off before I left the stadium. Because you know what? Most Penn State fans I know are pretty nice, but boy, they weren't very nice to that guy that day. They were just giving him heck as he walked back to his car. And you could tell that he was just beaten. He was just beaten down. And he was defeated. You see, sometimes as Christians, that's what we feel like, that we have that kind of opponent and they're beating us down. But to certain and sudden return of Jesus Christ should give us hope. You know, there's all kinds of references in the Bible to darkness and light. And as believers, one of the primary reasons that we can stand firm in the future understanding of that Jesus Christ is coming back is that he's brought us out of darkness into a marvelous light through his son Jesus. And because we stand in that marvelous light, we stand forgiven, we stand on grace and mercy, then we can look out at all the things in the world in a much different light, because we know that Jesus Christ is coming, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus told us that we don't have to be troubled, that we can trust in Him, that if we trust in God, we can trust in Him, and He's making us a mansion in heaven. And one day he's going to come back, and we need to be ready and looking forward to that day. You know, my wife, Arlene, is one of the most amazing people like this, you know. Always when somebody, for example, have you ever done this? Have you ever had something in the future that you were so looking forward to that you would tell God, God, don't come back until after this? Maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a trip, I don't know. You know, God, I'm going to the Caribbean next month, so don't come back today, okay? My wife is so amazing. She talks about the return of Jesus all the time. And she is so looking forward to it. She is so excited about it. And nothing else matters. You know, I think that's a good way to live. You know, Paul's point in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is to talk about the people in this kingdom of light, that there's no need to fear, that we can stay sober and alert and self-controlled, that we can stay focused, and that we can exercise a lot of self-control because we remain hopeful and we know that God is true to His word. You know, several weeks ago, we started this entire series talking about how our faith is a marathon, it's not a sprint. We talked about how, you know, there'll come a time in most people's lives when you become tired, weary, can't go on, even having a desire to just quit. But folks, faith and suffering and righteous living help to keep us focused on the future. And there are surely others that God wants to encourage us with. And this week, as we kind of bring this to a close, let's all make the commitment that we are going to stand on faith. Because no matter what's coming, God is already there preparing the way, and He's going to come someday and He's going to lead us to eternal glory in Him. But what are you going to do in the meantime? You know, my little grandson, Jack, taught me a great lesson about this. A few years ago when Jack was, I don't know, he was like 5 or 6, and his mother was pregnant with his little sister. And before she was born, Arlene and I made a trip down to their home to go to the appointment with Sarah and Mark and Jack, our grandson, for the reveal. They were going to do the ultrasound, and they were going to reveal what the sex of the child was, and we were going to be able to be there. I'll never forget as long as I live, because we went into the office, and Sarah told the attendant there who we were and why we were there, and she said, "Oh my goodness, you guys can't go in there." And all of a sudden, I don't know, there was some mix-up, and they wouldn't let Arlene and I go in. So we had to wait out. I was like, kind of irritated about it, you know, but it was what it was. So we're sitting there, and Sarah and Mark and Jack are back in the examination room, and all of a sudden Jack burst out through the doors, and he came over, and he jumped into Mims' arms, Arlene, and he looked at us, and he said, "I don't have a brother." That's the way we found out. Now, fast forward. Oh, my gosh, they love each other. Now, they're brothers and sisters, and they do all the things that brothers and sisters do, but I don't think Jack would ever regret having that. You see, I think that's kind of us as we look into the future. We know we got something coming. We just don't know quite what it will be. God does. And between now and then, the future begins right now. Oh, wait, that's the past now. The future begins right now. Oh, wait, that's the past. The future begins right now. When are you going to start being faithful and standing firm? Because whatever your goal is and your faith in that, you'll never reach it if you're waiting until the future to begin trying. I don't know about you folks, but when Jesus Christ comes back, I don't want to be surprised. I don't want to be fearful or scared. I don't want to experience any kind of emotion like that. I just want to be thankful because I've been waiting for this for a long, long time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, it's so appropriate to talk about things like this as we talk about loving and helping families and children. God, we want to make their future as bright and as good as it can be. But Lord, it can only happen if we make that a goal right now. And when we think about the future, Lord, that we don't think about 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 20 years from now, but Lord, we think about right now, because however long we look down the road, it'll be here before we know it. So, Lord, I just pray that we could stand firm in our faith and our understanding of you, Lord, until that great and glorious day when you split the sky and you call us home. So, Father, I pray that you would be with each person in this room today and help us to really relish the thought and the beautiful picture of what that looks like. Give us strength, Lord, to stand firm in our faith and conviction to you until that day comes for us all. In Jesus' holy name, amen.